If there's one thing we've learned about business and life, it's that people are the X factor. They constantly surprise us, both in amazing ways and not so much. We're Ben and Sia, and welcome to the Gnaw on This Business Bites podcast. This show is all about real life things we all deal with every day, how they relate to business, and how to make some sense out of our daily chaos. Welcome to the show. And welcome back to another episode of Gnaw on This Business Bites. I'm Ben, and this is Sia. So you shut down a project. Now what? People have spent time, effort, money, personal reputation, building teams, building, you know, programs together, buying software. Hundreds, thousands, millions of dollars have been spent. And somebody pulled the plug. And then you hear crickets. No justification, no communication, no what did we learn from this, no what's next, no what do we expect from you going forward. Just crickets. How does that make you feel? See ya. Let's gnaw on this.
All right, my friend. I can't tell you how many projects have gotten canceled on us when I was working at my company in technology. Technology projects get shelved faster than a teenage girl dating, you know, boys and teenage boys dating whomever, whatever. Look, like Johnny didn't dance with me, I'm going to dance with someone else. Like, that's how fast projects come and go in technology. So me speaking anecdotally, you know what that tells me? When a project shuts down like that, when there's money that has been spent, two things are happening. One, it was always a vanity project of whatever executive leader that had the budget. And then they suddenly disappear for whatever various reasons. And therefore, your biggest backer to your project went MIA.
Yeah.
Secondly, is whomever is in charge of this project did not articulate the value of the project to the business well enough such that it got shut down because there was no longer a business requirement or the value was not accepted as being needed at that point in time. And it's frustrating because us as vendors, we're down the stream.
Oh, totally.
Right? Oftentimes we're down the stream and often we're a component of that overall project. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, I can feel it. I can see it. And as a former salesperson, you banked on it. You put in the pipeline and said, hey, man, everything's looking hunky-dory, hunky-dory, hunky-dory. And then someone in finance just goes, kibosh. So how do I feel about it? You're giving me hives because I'm freaking remembering so many times the conversations of like, what the hell happened? And it was oftentimes completely out of your control.
Most of the time it is completely out of control. And you know what? There are times projects need to be shelved. They, you know, there's the business case that you thought was there wasn't there. They're $1 million over budget and with no end in sight. There's 100 different reasons why mm-hmm. projects get shelved. The problem is we never talk about it. We, as organizations, we just throw it in the corner, throw it in a desk drawer, and just go, that didn't happen.
You know and why?
The problem is, as you said, there's salespeople that have been talking about this project to customers. Customers are sitting there going, so where is it? Vendors have spent money gearing up because they're going to be supporting this program. You know, customer service teams have been trained on this. You know, there's everybody's sitting there going, okay, what happened? Like, seriously, what happened? And there's never that answer. There's never that sense of closure. There's never that sense of, okay, this is what we learned from this. Okay, it didn't pan out. We tried, we lived this, we ran the business numbers, we ran by our customers. We couldn't get to a point where we could actually make this thing viable. The technology, we just don't have the technology today to be able to overcome whatever hurdle. But none of those conversations happen. And individuals start sitting there going, well, was it me? You know, was it our team? Was it the fact there's something that we did do or we didn't do? You know, was it our fault? Was it not our fault? And people get blamed and fingers get pointed, but there's never the articulation of why things actually happened. And as companies, it's the why is so important because we can't learn unless we know the why. We can't sit there and say, what do we do next? We're bound to make the same mistakes over and over again, you know, 10 times more expensively if we don't understand why we shut something down in the first place. And I just don't understand why we are so scared to articulate. I don't want to call them failures, but our decisions to not move forward. Why are we so afraid as organizations to sit there and say, that didn't work. This is why it didn't work. This is what we were trying to do. This is why that didn't happen. Let's do a postmortem on this thing. Figure out, is there anything we can salvage from this? Can we move forward in a different way? Giddy up, let's go.
No, you know, it won't. Yes. 100% won't. You know why? Because people are afraid of their jobs. So if they're attached to a project that got defuncted, defunded, whatever, there's stench, there's smell that sticks to it, right? You don't want that smell stuck on you of like, oh, wait, you were a spearhead of a project that ultimately failed or failed because we pulled the plug on it. Oh, you wasted the company's time and resources. You were the spearhead. Like, no one wants that stink on them. So no, there's a lot of unwritten stuff here that, again, you're making me remember why I enjoyed leaving corporate, which was politics, internal corporate politics. There are business units that will have priorities and objectives that they fight each other for resources on that ultimately the C-suite has to determine, okay, is this in line with the overall direction of the business? And okay, if this project does move forward, which projects, because there's usually competing. And when I say competing projects, it's not that the projects are the same. It's competing projects for time, resources, right? And money, yeah, right?
Of course.
Oftentimes it's like, well, I'm just going to keep staying with the winning team. Ain't no one going to want to do a postmortem, which is where I would give credit to military. They always did a postmortem after every mission.
Absolutely.
And I think there's some strength in that. But like I said, unfortunately, us civilians don't understand that you can go over things to learn, take lessons learned, and not have that stench of failure stuck associated to you.
Yeah, it's ego. It comes down to ego, and it comes down to territory. You know, because are you going to be the person that's going to be greenlit for the next project? As you said, if you're the person that stank up the last one. And so a lot of people will quietly kill something before even the C-suite has a chance to even know it, because it's better to just say, hey, listen, you know what? Let's just not move forward with this. Let's just, you know, don't worry about it. We're just not going to invest any more time or effort on this, and we're just going to move forward. And, you know, that way it doesn't become a C-suite decision. It gets killed at a lower level. Because those people sit there and say, you know what? I know this thing is going to come back down badly. If C-suite has to kill this,
yeah,
I'm going to be, it could be my head on the chopping block.
And it most likely will be if you're in that level of that level of decision-making, right? Where it is ultimately you wasted millions of dollars. I don't know. You know, what's really crazy to me is how quickly a company, once you get to a certain size, how million-dollar projects just suddenly turn into vapor. I don't know how I could function as a human to like kiss off a mill buck, you know, whatevs, but it happens more often than not. That's what's just mind-blowing to me.
Here, I just read this the other day, that in companies of 100,000 employees, $62 million a year gets wasted due to ineffective internal communication.
Ooh, doesn't surprise me.
$62 million on the average 100,000 employee company. Now, if for a 100-person company, it's still $42,000. I mean, you look at it for a small little company of 100 employees, which still is a decent sized company, but to lose $42,000 after tax.
Wow.
Is because of negligence and because people don't learn and because they didn't learn from their mistakes. They didn't sit there and say, okay, let's do a postmortem. Let's take the time to figure out what went right, what went wrong, and how we can do better next time. And therefore, they do the same damn thing all over again.
Over again.
Then that's just negligence. And I think as organizations, we need to be able to go, yeah, we screwed up. Okay, what did we learn from it? What's the good that can come out of this? What's the good? Listen, wait a second. What if we take that technology and we merge that with this? Hang on a second here. That might work. But if we just throw it in the garbage can or in the drawer, it's sunk costs. And we have no opportunity to learn. We have no opportunity to move forward. We have no opportunity to be able to get people to feel good about themselves in any way, shape, or form. All we do is leave bad taste and stench behind us.
Yeah.
And that's not a great place to be.
It isn't a great place to be. And that's where I think I'm glad we're gnawing on this, because I think it needs to be spoken and addressed, right? Because it's almost like, I think for me, it's almost like giving it, even though it's a small nod, but of respect for all the people's times. I mean, it's their human lives that they've just spent on a project that will go nowhere. So now you're not only have you just thrown away that time and investment, that knowledge transfer, potential knowledge transfer that didn't even happen because it got cut off. It is also that, almost apology, not apology, but like, not acceptance, but that word, acknowledgement, mm-hmm. that you can't even give that those people who work so hard on this stuff, the attaboy, because it got canceled. So the assumption, it was a failure. So all your hard work, it's like, yay. Like, you for know nothing. What I mean? It feels like a, how do you cheer a success of something that got canceled in a way? So job well done. Too bad we got canceled. That sucks. Yeah,
but you also take a look and say, go, okay, what about those evenings and weekends that you worked and you were away from family or spouses or significant other or parents' birthday parties or whatever, because you got put on the fast track on this project and you're expected to work all this extra time, and then all of a sudden there's no payoff at the end of the time. You can't even say, hey, look what we did. Look what we accomplished. Mm-mm. Because there's no way of sitting there going, all right, we didn't win this. This didn't happen. But at least we learned. At least we learned. And this is what we learned. And this is what we can. Wait a second here. We can adapt it to that. Hey, that's a great idea. And I think, as organizations, and this comes back to our culture conversation, is that we need to build the cultures of innovations that celebrate both the wins and the failures and be able to sit there and figure out what are the lessons learned. Because even if we've thrown $5 million, $10 million, $50 million down the drain and sunk costs, there's got to be something that we can get out of there. There's got to be a technology that came out of that, an innovation that came out of that, a process that came out of that, procedures that came out of that, a new relationship that came out of that, a new vendor that was found.
Yeah.
And we need to be able to sit there and say, okay, how can we utilize all that in a way that makes our lives better?
Oh, I agree.
So do you have anything to add?
Damn it. No, damn it. Like, seriously, this, we've got to, after this, our goal is to find a topic that we just are diametrically opposed on, because that was like preaching to the choir, babe, preaching to the choir.
So let's leave it there. I'm Ben.
And I'm Sia. Agree. I'm misagreeing Sia.
And we'll see you soon.
Hey, hey, hey. Thanks for listening to another episode of Not On This, Business Bites. If you liked what you heard, we most humbly ask that you like, share, and hit that subscribe button. And if you want to communicate more effectively within your organization, contact Ben at yourbrandmarketing.com or me at brilliantbeammedia.com. We can help you build your community, brand awareness, and personality through digital content and podcasting. We cannot wait to hear from you. So see you next week for another episode of Not On This, Business Fights.